Thank you, Jesus, for giving us joy. Thank you for his joy this morning. We thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. I'm so grateful for what he's done in my life and what I feel it deep in my soul. Amen. What once was an empty place is now filled with his presence and his glory in his name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. We're glad that you're with us. If you're a guest of ours, we encourage you to fill out a connection card here in the auditorium. You can get them at the back at the kiosk and fill one out. We have a gift for you if you will do that as a guest. And if you are online, you can use the Bitly connection there and go online, connect at Bitly CGC Guest, and fill that out. We want to let you know how much we appreciate you being a part of this service and enjoying the presence of God with us. You may be seated, by the way. If you're worshiping today in person, you can give in the offering box in the vestibule. There's a plexiglass box there. You can drop your offering. And if you're online, you can give in several ways. You can either give cgcmadison.org/giving. You can send it in by email or by snail mail, or you can text to give tithes, offering, speaker, or CFC. You need to designate what kind of offering you want to give. Remember, CFC stands for Christmas for Christ. If you are still accumulating funds for Christmas for Christ, you can still contribute. We have a few more weeks before we have to send that offering in. So we'll do that to help plant churches all around North America and to support those churches that are being planted here in the District of Wisconsin, i.e. Brother and Sister Thomas in Stoughton. Amen. Amen. This Wednesday, there'll be no service. Our normal Wednesday evening service is canceled because of the holiday season. But there will be a New Year's Eve service here. Voces Unidas and AIM will have a joint service at 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. So let's stand again. We're going to pray. I'm certain you've already prayed and worshiped, but let's do that together. Pray for this service. Pray for everyone who's part of it and those who are receiving it online. We know that God is with us. We know that He has promised to be with us, and he's continuing to work through the church to reach a lost world, and that's why we're here today. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we're grateful, God, for your presence. We're grateful that we can feel the liberty and the joy that we're singing about. It's not just words in a song, but it's a real experience, and we're grateful that you have given it to us. We ask, oh God, for your blessing on this service, upon all of these musicians, upon our pastor as he preaches the word of God. I pray, God, use this to touch every heart and mind that is exposed to this service in any way. And let your blessing, oh God, be upon those who are grieving here today. We know some members of our congregation have lost loved ones, and we ask, oh God, for the ministry of your spirit, oh God, and for those that are recovering from illness or sickness, and those that are missing their loved ones on this holiday season. I know, God, that you can come alongside of us. You have promised to be our comforter. So, God, I pray for the ministry of your spirit in this. Use us for this purpose in this day. We give you praise and we give you glory in all of this in Jesus' name.
When the darkness closes in, you are home. close my fold on that day when your love took my place on the cross. Oh,
you swore the Lord down and overwhelmed me with life. Oh, you made your blood and my pain collide. Oh, beautiful love, you are my king.
Carries us. Thank you.
You're everything. All I need. You're all I need. The one who carried the cross carries me.
You're everything. You're everything.
Such a sweet peace in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's just lift our hands and just soak it in just a little bit. Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for what I feel right here. God, I thank you, Lord, for times in my life. Lord, when you carry me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise your name, Lord. You could go ahead and be seated this morning. We had a great children's message this morning on the Bride of Christ. And thank you so much to our children's ministry. It was a very, very well-written message. If they had it online or if they have it online, Sometimes we overlook, sometimes we just totally bypass that there's an end to all of this. I hope to end up in heaven. That's my plan anyway. I want to be part of the bride of Christ. I don't want to be part of the doomsday party going on in the other place, but so great to have you here this morning. I trust that you had a great Christmas, and it's great to see we have some guests here. So great to see our guests that are visiting with us. Brother Jay seems to be doing a lot of witnessing down in Texas, and he's brought a guest from Texas this morning, and actually... Her name is Raquel, and he's been witnessing to her online, I think is what the deal's been. He's talked a lot about her, and at first I didn't really believe she existed. You can talk about people you meet online all you want to, but you never really know. But she's here in person, and I'm just picking on them because it's public knowledge now, I guess, that you are officially engaged. And congratulations to that, to Jay and Raquel. And their wedding is in April, and it will be in Texas. And I don't have to officiate or anything, Jay, but I would sure like an invitation. April in Texas would be great. In fact, we'd all like to come. So if you could just appropriate, reappoint some of those wedding dollars to travel expense. How many of you like to go to Texas in April? Yeah, okay. All right, we're all there for you, bro. So, on a more serious note, I received a call from Sister Shelley Weber yesterday, and her mother passed away. She's been struggling in health for some time now. But just pray for, keep Sister Shelley in your prayers. A lot of her mother's care has kind of fallen on her shoulders, her responsibility, and it's been a lot for her. So just remember her in your prayers. Also, Bishop and his lovely wife send their blessings and wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. And we're just excited to be here today. I don't know about you, but Christmas is just kind of like it just comes and then it's like gone. We've been doing a series, and this I was telling Brother Seidel, I said I'm real nervous about this morning because it's one of those messages that for me it's very close and personal, and everyone may not see it that way. Everyone may not understand quite, but we've been in a series. You've got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. I titled it that because there's a good chance you won't forget when you have this memory peg that every time we start thinking about conflict in your life that you're going to think about that song. We've had some verses of Scripture that we have had along with this series, and John 13:35 has been one of our verses, and says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I think that is something that is so, so very, very critical when it comes to dealing with conflict within your life and then the lives of your brothers and sisters, is you're going to know if you're a disciple of Jesus, if you're a real, true Christian, if you love one another. That means love them through no matter what. No matter what happens, no matter what they say, no matter what they do. Jesus doesn't put a stipulation on it that tells us that, well, you can love them, but I'll cut you a little slack if they do this or that. No, it says everyone will know. Then also we had a scripture, and in your patience possess ye your souls. You have not because you ask not. And these are very important because In Luke 21, when Jesus is talking, he's talking about a lot of different topics, and then he throws this, in your patience possess ye your soul, in your ability to process things out patiently. And we are living in a world today where that people's patience is so, so very, very thin. All you have to do is just go on YouTube or any of the social media today and just look up road rage, and it's just all over. It's not just America, it's all over the world. Videos of people pulling over and getting in fights and screaming and hollering and yelling and such, and we live in the world, but we're not supposed to be part of the world. But it's very difficult sometimes when you work in it and you live in it, you entertain in it and everything else that we do in it, and it not pick up or have some residue that rubs off on us. And we can find ourselves getting very angry driving down the Beltline and someone cut us off, or in a parking lot and you've waited to get into your parking stall and somebody cuts in front of you. So in your patience, possess ye your soul. And then you have not. Sometimes we just don't have because we don't ask. And that's a crying shame sometimes, because all we have to do is ask. God doesn't put a whole lot of stipulation on when he says you have not because you ask not. And then we're going to venture into another area today. And we're going to be reading from Philippians 4:6. And reading out of the NIV, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Yeah, right. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't get aggravated about anything. Don't become impatient. Don't allow your flesh to overrun perhaps your spirit. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Doesn't say in, I mean, it's very, very specific. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You probably know the words to it by now, but on a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, and we took turns of staring out the window in the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, son, I made a life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. If you don't mind me saying, I can see you're running out of options here this morning. You got to know when to hold them. We kind of rewrote this a little bit, didn't we? You have to know when to sometimes put up, sometimes know when to shut up. Sometimes we really need to know when to just cut our losses and walk away. Sometimes you have to know when to run. So as we look into this next session, this next message, I was sitting at my desk at home Christmas afternoon, opened up my computer, thinking about life. Now, I'm a pretty sentimental guy in a lot of areas of my life. I like to look back at the year and reflect, because I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't really want to live another 2020. And we're looking at 2021. This is our last service, other than our watch night service, but this is our last Sunday service of 2020. Begin to think about life, begin to think about this year. had some soft Christmas music playing. Get to thinking about how to deal with everything that has been thrust upon us this year. Begin to think, sometimes when you're by yourself, I don't know how you are, but my mind can go in a lot of different ways if it's just my thoughts and I'm not sharing those thoughts with anyone else. I begin to think about, as Christians, as a pastor, sometimes we're really good at recognizing all the spiritual aspects of life. We're real good at looking at our lives and saying, well, I'm suffering here, I'm suffering there, I'm struggling with my prayer, I'm struggling, maybe the rest of you, or probably we all struggle with not liking to fast at times, and we think about disciplining our lives and becoming more disciplined in a spiritual sense of the word, and we always look. A lot of times as Christians, we're really, really good at recognizing the devil. We're real good at blaming the devil and rebuking the devil. Something can happen and we instantly, well, it's the devil's fault, and we begin to rebuke the devil. But sometimes we really are not very good at just dealing with life. With the natural occurrences, or when the natural occurrences of our life begin to compound upon us and problems begin to pile up, and they pile up and pile up and pile up. Do we have what it takes, church? Do you have what it takes here this morning as a father or the leader of your household? What we call stick ability. Do we have the umption? Do we have the guts to follow this through all the way to the end? You see, sometimes we can rebuke demons, but then we can turn around and smart off to someone on the job and get fired. This is life, folks. This is where we live every day. We can come to church and we can lift our hands and worship and pray, and we can walk out, and before we get into the car in the parking lot, we're already arguing with the wife. Sometimes, even as Christians, we're supposed to have joy, we're supposed to have peace, we're supposed to have love, understanding, but we find ourselves in a cycle of unable to be happy, content, and we've lost our ability to just enjoy life and smile. When is the last time that you've just sat down and just chuckled and laughed? A good old heartfelt inside laugh. You see, we feel good when we defeat the enemy, the devil, but sometimes life can be just as formidable as an opponent. Why is that? It's because life simply happens. Life happens. So we're going to talk this morning. I'm just going to lay a foundation this morning. I'm just bear with me here. This is going to be a little bit more. We're going to deal with some of this next week. But I'm going to talk about the topic for a few weeks here. Warning: contents under pressure. Contents under pressure. Just about every spray can I was able to pick up, I was going to bring in some spray cans this morning, until I realized that every can I pick up, so you can go home and you can pick up anything from the Pam in your kitchen cabinet to aerosol cans to the static guard that I used on my pants before I came into church this morning, because they were all sticking to me. And they all have this sign, this labeling on the can that says caution or warning, contents under pressure. You see, what we're talking about here this morning and what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks is dealing with the stresses that our lives are faced with every day. Understand, it's not necessarily the product that's in the can as much as it is the propellant that is in. So good to see Sister Manley back there. I didn't even see her back there. Yeah. So good to see you, Sister Manley. Oh, that just made me happy. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, you see, it's not necessarily the product in the can. So if it's PAM or if it's an aerosol or some kind of a spray that you're going to use for making the room smell pretty, if it's pine or lilacs, there's the content in the can, which is the product itself, and then every can has what's called a propellant. And it's the propellant that, when it's under pressure, can be the problem. You see, the propellant is what is used to get the product out of the can. So pay very close attention with me here. You see, that good smelling air freshener is poured into the can, but there has to be a propellant in there as well, so that when you hit the nozzle, whatever is in that can begins to shoot out into the room. When we look at life, yes, life can be very much like a can of air freshener. It can be very much like a can of WD-40 or Liquid Wrench or whatever it is. There are things in us that won't come out until a little bit of propellant is added into our lives, or a little bit of pressure is put into our lives, and the stresses in our lives is the propellant in our can that propels whatever the contents are inside of us out into the open. So identifying the pressure as well as identifying the source of that pressure is so very, very critical when we look at this whole entire process. You see, so who is adding that pressure in your life? I've narrowed it down to just a few handful of things actually add pressure into our lives. We have to understand sometimes if we are running from God, we're out of the will of God. God has called us to do something specific, and we're telling God no. God can begin to apply pressure into our lives. For 13 years of my life, I ran from God. I didn't want to do what He called me to do. Sometimes I still struggle with that, but nevertheless, you submit so pressure can come from God Himself. I can't judge your life. I don't know what's happening within the contents of your can this morning. Is it God that's adding pressure to your life? Or is it because perhaps maybe you're doing things that you ought not be doing? So you're feeling pressure from the enemy of our souls. The enemy of our souls, we can call him Satan, Lucifer, the devil, whatever we would like to call him. He can also apply pressure into your life. These pressures can mount. And whether it's God applying pressure, Satan applying pressure, or if it is life itself, other people can apply pressure in your life. I have found out in my life that most of my stress doesn't come from my automobile. Most of my stress doesn't come from a broken vacuum cleaner. Most of my stress doesn't come from perhaps a big wood pile or a dirty house or a messed up garage. A lot of my stress comes from other people. So we live in this volatile environment, and the only thing that's keeping the contents of our life within, keeping the contents of our life within itself from just exploding out is actually the can. So we can walk around and we can have gifts. And we can have abilities that oftentimes will lay dormant within our lives and until something acts upon it or causes us to release or flow at the right time. And we can get ourselves into situations and get all wrangled up and all riled up and all angry. And our life is on the verge of an explosion. And sometimes it's all you or all I need is just a little bit more of pressure, a little bit more of heat applied to our lives. You ever throw an aerosol can in a fire? I've never yet seen one survive. I remember not too long ago, I was throwing a bunch of trash on a fire out at my house, and I had a can, a garbage can, and I didn't realize everything I had thrown into that garbage can, and I'm pouring it on the fire, and I turn around and walk away and look back and realize I had thrown an empty propane can, one of those small ones, on the fire. They have a warning sign on them. And the warning sign says, caution, contents under pressure. Do not incinerate. Oops. But you see, sometimes our lives, all it takes is a little bit of pressure, a little bit of heat, and we explode. You see, the reason for this is that propellants are often flammable. Our attitudes in life, how we deal with life, how we deal with stress can be very flammable and volatile. If incinerated with some of this flammable propellant still in the can, that can is going to explode. And you don't feel like there are times in your life that if you get, or you feel like there are times perhaps in your life that you're being pushed closer and closer and closer to the heat. And you can feel it begin to build up inside of you. And you feel like you are literally going to explode. Times when you think, if one more thing happens to me before this day is over, I'm going to snap. I can't hold it in any longer. There's not enough hole in the can, in the nozzle, to release the pressure fast enough. I'm just on the verge of exploding. You see, it was once said that Christians are being crucified on a cross between two thieves, yesterday's regret and tomorrow's worries. So in this lesson that we're going to get into, we're going to talk a whole lot about some things that are really, really close to home for a lot of us. Over the past, I've had to learn how to deal, and I've struggled at learning how to deal with stress. It's one of life's greatest challenges, and it's one of life's most volatile propellants, because stress is real. I don't know if you believe that or not this morning, but stress is real, and we all suffer from it in one way or another. Now understand, there's nothing unholy about stress. You don't think that Jesus, when he was faced the crucifixion, and he sweat as though it were great drops of blood, that he wasn't under a little bit of stress? Think about that. There's nothing unholy or unchristian about stress. All people suffer from it, from one level or another. It could be caused by our jobs. Our jobs can give us stress, or a loss of a job can give us stress. Our finances, debt, our marriages, our children, or the inability to have children, our circumstances, what's going on in the news, our government, the loss of a loved one, stress is everywhere. It cannot be either avoided, nor should we ignore it. And as we grow through life, life gets more and more and more complicated. The number of stressors in our lives have multiplied exponentially over the last decade. We look at all of these things with work and the balance of work. Most of our families here have husbands and wives are both working. Teenagers in the homes are working. Families are running everywhere. The environment and parenting and conflict and relationship, and now you throw COVID and all of this on top of all of it. It's just an absolute perfect combination for an explosion. You see, stress is that 2,000-pound elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. It's there. We see it. We recognize it. Many times we deal, we struggle with it. So how do we deal with stress? How do we deal with this? Now, we're going to get into a lot of different things on how to deal with this, but one way that we deal with it is we just simply run from it. Many times our reaction when we have problems that we can't deal with, we run from them. We change jobs because we have problem on a job. We change homes because we have problems in a neighborhood. We go on shopping sprees. We have marriage problems, so we get a divorce. All of the hopes that this change will make us feel better, that it will fulfill us. The problem is that no matter where we run, our problems are there when we get there. Stress is real, and it can't be ignored without being detrimental to us as an individual. Another coping mechanism on how we deal with stress, I'm not saying these are right ways to deal with it, I'm just saying how we normally deal with it. We internalize it. Contents, warning, contents under pressure. We internalize it. We pack it in. We hide it behind carefully constructed walls and fake smiles. How you doing today, Brother Kelvin? Awesome. Doing awesome. Things going great? Yep. Doing great. How's the business going? Super. How's the new baby? Awesome. Wife doing? Yep. Everything's going great. On the way to church, perhaps. I'm not saying this happened, but on the way to church, they argued all the way here. Because business isn't going so good. They're arguing because they're determining whether or not they have enough money to go out for dinner after church. Be nice to take the pastor out today. It's a little heavy in here right now. We don't have enough money. Well, we got the credit card. It's maxed out. Christmas. You see, we come in here. We all do this. Don't look at your neighbor and say, oh, we all do this. How's it going, Carrie? Great, great. When Carrie's thinking, no, it's not going so great. But you see, we internalize it. We internalize it because we don't feel real comfortable when someone comes up and we say, how you doing, Brother John? Horrible! My wife, my mother-in-law's here. No. We build up walls, don't we? We internalize it. It becomes a coping mechanism. We pretend that it's not there. We ignore it, hoping it's just going to go away. But listen, ignoring things won't make them just go away. It only makes them harder to face when they come around again. Oftentimes, when problems are hidden, they eventually boil over and they spill out. We become distant. We become angry. We can become angry at God if we're not careful. Blame God because of people in our lives that are putting stress on us. Another way that we respond to stress is we just simply, under the load, we can't handle it anymore, and we just crumble. We break down mentally. We break down emotionally. And we break down physically. We become just a shell, perhaps, of what we once were. Maybe we were very confident, had a lot of confidence in ourselves and our abilities, and we find out that life has beaten us down to the point that we've lost that. We become a shell. We lock ourselves away from the world. We shut down to our family. We shut down to our friends. We become depressed, despondent, and broken. So if you find yourself today, perhaps you, your family, your business, life has just totally stressed you out. How do you fix this? How do you fix it? I know it's 11 o'clock and my time is up, but I'm going to want to finish this morning. If you just give me a few more minutes. How do we fix this? This past year, last September, life for me changed quite dramatically. Here at church, in the middle of a training session, My face went numb. My hand went numb. Didn't know what the problem was, and summoned one of the nurses and took my blood pressure, and it was like over 200, over 100 and something. They said I needed to go to the emergency room immediately. So we left and got to the emergency room, and of course they start running all these different tests. Within the next 48 hours, I found out that I had had two mini strokes and a previous mini stroke that I didn't even know I had. I'd had some heart-related issues, aortic aneurysm, extreme blood pressure problems. I remember the doctor coming in early in the morning, sitting down, wanting to talk, and had another individual with them. They began to ask me some questions. What did I do for a living? How long had I been this way? And all these kind of things. Then he leans forward and he asks me a question that really shook me to my core. He said, "Pastor, looking at where you are now and where things seem to be going, I have to ask you one simple question. What are you willing to die for?" We ask ourselves that question sometimes. We're always thinking about, well, another man laid down his life for his brother. But you see, what you are holding on to this morning very well may be the one single thing that's slowly killing you. And you don't even know it. The doctor says the rate you're going, you'll never see your grandkids grow up. Probably won't see them graduate or get married. Your wife will more likely has a high percentage possibility of becoming a widow. I just found out that what I thought I was good at dealing with and handling, I wasn't so good at dealing with and handling. So let me just explain here in a few minutes in a real simple way as we close. I need 10 people up here, social distance. So Jacob, come on over here. Jay, come on over here. Mr. Graper, a few of you guys, just Larry. Just space yourself across here. Keep yourself at distance. I need 10 of you, though. We got some ladies we can have up here. Go ahead, come on up. Come on up. You're not a lady. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Come on up. 9. Terry, this is 10. Now, this is life right here. 1 to 10. Now, at the end of this service, I'm going to do something I've never done before. We're all going to take home a test. I have a test for married families. I have a test for single and young adults. And I have a test for teenagers. And I'd like for you to take this home. And I'd like for you to do this. It's a stress test. I've worked very... It's been difficult putting this together, trying to get it all to flow and work. But every test has a score. And I want you to take that test. Don't put your name on it. Take that test, take your score, and next week we're going to have a table out in the vestibule. And all I want you to do is write down your score and put it in an appropriate box. There'll be 3 boxes. No names, no nothing, just your score. You'll have each box will have its own colored paper, okay? But this is what happens in life. Now, this is not a foot stomping message here this morning, and I've said this before, but if we're broken and we're so stressed out, Brother Jay, that we can't be a witness to the world, there is something wrong with either what we're doing, how we're doing, or why we're doing it. So life begins, and we have stress, and it's at level number 1, and we can deal with that. So we deal with stress at level number 1, and it's fine. Life goes on. We get married. We get a different job and maybe get into trades, and life begins to bump up a little. So as you get married, you add another stress. You get a different job and you're going to school and you add another stress. And before, you may have been living life at this level of stress, at a level one, and you could handle that. But now, all of a sudden, life's jumped up to a level three. And you cope. You manage. You're a man. Suck it up. Life gets tough. Everybody deals with it, right? Isn't that what we tell ourselves? So here we are. We're at a three. And we live that way. We adjust that way. When vacations come, we never get back down to relax to a level two or a level one. We go on vacations and we come home and we're more stressed when we come home than when we left. But we plow through. We get married. We pay for the wedding. All the guests from Wisconsin that came. All of those bills are behind us now. Oops. We have a little baby on the way. Oh, we have another one. We have a change of job. The wife decides that she wants to go back to school. So extra stress is added, financial stress. Pretty soon you find yourself, you're way up here. You're at a six. How did life get this way? Well, life is just life, right? You have families. People have families. Wives go back to school. You cope with it. You're a man, a woman. Suck it up. Deal with it. But you only have so much time in a day. And you can't deal with everything. So things that you used to cherish back when you were at a stress level one or two, you have to cut those things out of your life. You're trying to make up for more room. So you plow ahead. You're working overtime now because you've got more bills. You got babies. You got schooling. And the level begins to get higher and higher because overtime through the holidays, it shuts down. Now you're barely able and life's getting up close to an eight. And you're looking at life and you're like, man, how in the world did I get here? I don't know that I can handle this. But who am I going to talk to? Because everybody that I know is in the same boat that I'm in. So you suck it up again. It's what you tell yourself. Just deal with it. But see, here now you're living a life at a stress level of eight. This is what the doctor was trying to get to my attention. And he said, Pastor, he said, your stress level is now up to a point between a 9 and a 10 to where it's beginning to affect your health. You've had too many strokes, a third mini stroke. Your blood pressure is, they got me on all kinds of medicines. You say, oh, should I feel, no, don't, listen. We're getting through this. We're getting through it by changing how I do life. If I don't, all of you are important to me, but boy, I want to see my grandkids graduate. I don't want to leave my wife as a widow. But you see, we start living life at an 8, a 9, and a 10. And we never are able to get the stress out of our lives to where we can go back to a 3, 4, or a 5, or to a more manageable level. And every level of stress, as it increases across our lives, we add on more responsibility, we have more things that we're trying to deal with, and after a while, we get to the point to where we just simply something. Hear me, something is going to break. You can be seated. Something is going to break because you see, God never designed us Brother Seidel, He never designed us to operate this way. But yet we insist. We start at a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, and pretty soon we're 8, 9, or 10. We never are able to decompress. The pressures build. We adapt. And if we're not careful, you see, this is going to sound so calloused, but what value do I give to the kingdom of God if I just break down physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, everything, and I die? Boy, he sure knew how to, man, he could get a lot of stuff done. Yeah. Yeah. I'm learning that there's a price that you're going to pay. So if we could stand this morning, and if I could have our ushers come. As I said, I struggled with how to deliver this message this morning. I know there are some of you here today that are just right on the verge. I can see it in your countenance. Sometimes we're not really good at hiding things. We don't want to talk to people about it because it shows weakness. Don't be so stubborn. Don't be so stubborn that you destroy yourself just to say you can handle this when the reality is you're not handling it very well at all. We're going to go over next week on God's ways. I talked to you about three ways how we normally deal with stress. We're going to get into some scriptural principles that if we can just simply learn. See, Elder Caskey, I grew up, and so did you, under the era that church was everything. Don't take this wrong. Don't misquote me on this. Church was everything. Families put aside church. Everything revolved, and church is an important part of our lives. But Derek, if you can't be the dad that God called you to be, you can't be the example because you're too busy. I'm not saying he is. I'm just... Church becomes so... It's important, but your relationship with God is far more important. Your personal time with God is far more important than your collective time with each other, because if you don't have that, everything else is going to crumble. So as for our altar call today, I want all of you to come to the altar, and this is how we're going to do this. Sister Mo has the stress test for singles and adults. Okay, so if you're single, adult, okay, this is where 18, let's just say if you're out of home, okay, single living adult, Sister Mo has your stress test that I'd like for you to take home with you, okay? Caleb here, he has a stress test for families, so this would be moms and dads, husbands, wives, if you're a single parent, this is your, okay? And then we have the stress test for teenagers. And Brother Nathan has that. So if you're a teenager, we want you to take and come and get this. As I said, you're not obligated to share this with anyone. Teenagers, if you want to share it with your parents, that's up to you. But I'd like for you to take this home. And seriously, understand something. As your pastor, can't fix things if I don't know what's broken. Do you understand that? I don't know how else to fix this until I find out exactly where it's all broken. And I believe God wants us to go in to 2021 not broken, not frustrated, not aggravated. This year was stressed enough. God says, this is not how I want you to live. It's not how I want to live. It's not how I want you to live. It's not a sign of weakness if you got a problem. A sign of weakness is knowing you have a problem and doing nothing about it. So as our worship team sings, I'd like for you to come down and get your appropriate stress test and take it home, fill it out, and bring back your results next Sunday morning. It's all confidential. It's a number on a piece of paper. Before you leave this morning, I'm going to make one more thing. If you're a single parent, you might want to take this single one as well with you, okay? And I would just say fill out which one is most applicable to your situation right now, okay? That makes sense? All right, if you're a single parent, the ones for single, just you have the family one too. I'm not for sure which one is going to be more applicable than your situation. So if you're a guest of ours, so great to have. Congratulations again to Raquel and Brother Jay. And, good to see Sister Manley back there. And, we sure love and appreciate her. I think they've snuck her out already. But we had online guests from Wisconsin, Illinois, Texas, South Dakota, Montana, Missouri, Iowa, and Colorado this morning. Thank you if you are in any of those areas for joining up with us. We love you, appreciate each and every one of you. God bless you so very much. We will see you back here. We have VOSIS and African International are having a service on New Year's Eve at 7 o'clock, I believe, is the starting time of that. But we will be back here next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. God bless you. Have a happy beginning to your new year. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.